Well, good morning. My name is Paul Galata, and I'm going to be preaching to you today. I wanted to let you know that lead pastor Tim Bourne misses you, but he's off in East Texas preaching revival in a church at Nacogdoches, if I said that right, that's been a faithful supporter of ours back in the time when we were getting started in order to get into the building. And so it's a great thing that we're a church that exists, that we can go back and preach revival back into those that have poured their life and their resources into helping us. I wanted to share a little bit about myself before I get going. Some of you may know me for a long time, and others, maybe I'm a fresh face up here, and you might be going, hey, what's going on? Did that guy stay at a Holiday Inn where they let him play guitar and then walk 3 feet over to the pulpit? I know Tim does a lot of burning the midnight oil when he prepares his sermons. He's kind of famous for staying up a long time and doing that. And I felt secure in my sermon prep and went to bed kind of around my normal time at 11 or so. But somewhere around 2:20 in the morning, I've been up ever since. In anticipation of being able to share with you what's on my heart, many of you may know that I'm married to Diana, who does women's ministry here, and I also have 4 girls, Jordan, Jesse, Jamie, and Joey, all that are in the faith and worship, and many of you know. And they grew up at this church. When I met Tim and Carrie about 12 or 13, 14 years ago, I was working at another church over there in Frisco, and Tim came in to do the church plant. And I was able, at the church that I was at, to open the doors. And Tim and Carrie were successful in launching the first worship service that Genesis Metro ever had. Now I look out and I get the opportunity a decade or so later to be able to participate in all that weekly, enjoying to play worship with the whole band and enjoying that. I've been ordained at this church as a gospel minister back in 2007. And I can recall the day later that year when Tim drove down with me down to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. It was my 43rd birthday, and Tim had known me for, 5 or 6 years at the time, and we'd been discussing things about the call of God on my life. And I said, Tim, I gotta sign up. I'm supposed to go to seminary. And he drove down with me that day, and we sat in the offices of What You Do, and I'm a middle-aged guy thinking about throwing my time and my money towards this school. I was done with that a long time ago. And I can remember when we got in the car and left, I'd put my down, signed out all the forms right there, then and there, because I said, I can't take this stuff home and look at it. I just got to do it. I got to be in. I got to be all in. I turn in my check for $1,000 and just go, whatever it costs, just bill me. And we drove in the car, and I can remember him, and he was driving, and I was like, dude, that's life-changing. And now I sit here many years later, and I'm still in that process, still studying, still working towards that. And I'm so happy to be able, it's my privilege to be able to preach to you today. You know, we've been talking about this idea, this concept we just started about bridges and barriers. Bridges and barriers. You know, the idea really behind that is that a bridge is something that moves us towards God's grace. Towards God's grace. That's the good pleasure that God has in bestowing his merit, his favor on us, even though we're not worthy and don't deserve that. And when I finally understood what that meant, what God's grace was, how much that changed my life. I was able to cross a bridge. But along the way, there are many barriers. You may experience many barriers, people or obstacles that prevent you, that inhibit you from moving forward towards God's grace. I want to share with you today that Christianity is not just going on the wings of great preachers, because surely before you, I am not that. But see, Christianity rather advances, it rather builds its bridge, it rather moves towards grace on the wings of real Christians, ordinary, regular, unknown, common, ones like you and me, ones that maybe never even imagined that's what was in store for them. You know, many of you know I love playing with young children. And my children are older now, between 22 and 16, somewhere in that range. But when they were young, just as many of you parents did, I used to put them on my shoulders. And you know how kids would get on and they would squeal with glee? That crazy kind of balancing thing, and you would run around as a dad and hold their hands and carry children on your shoulders. I can remember some of my children loved it. And some, when you first put them up there, were scared and fearful. Dad, don't drop me. Don't let me down. What if something like that is a picture of God the Father and us? What if we understood that it's upon the Father's shoulders that we, the ordinary, that we, the common and the regular, can place our faith and trust? That He's going to hold us and sustain us and never drop us. Before we get into our text today, I wanted to remind you of a story that happened in the Gospels in Luke 10. You recall, perhaps, the name of some famous apostles like Peter, James, and John. There's 12 of them. If you did some thinking, many of you know who those are. But you recall in Luke 10 that Jesus took those 12 and He appointed, though, them to go out as a total of 72. He sent them into the other places, two by two, into every town. And He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." See, we're so familiar that Jesus is only working with those that are called apostles, that we know their names, that we forget that Jesus actually worked through many people that even today are unknown, ordinary. Our text today is Acts 4. It'll be on the screen. You can open up your Bibles to it. But see, these apostles also, the ones that we know their names of, were also ordinary. You remember Peter and John, perhaps some of the most famous apostles? Look at what they did in Acts 4. In verse 4 it says, "But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The preaching of Peter and John led in one time to a vast explosion of the belief in Jesus Christ. There were 12. There were 72 that went out. Now there's 5,000. 5,000 on the shoulders of the ordinary. Those that were going to carry the gospel forward. If you look before, what was happening to them? At that time, there was an obstacle. It says in verse 3 that the authorities, they came to arrest them. Peter and John had an obstacle, had a barrier. But despite that, the ordinary apostles, the unknown, the unnamed, performed the miraculous. You know, there's another place in Scripture where the number 5,000 comes up. The feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus miraculously took the physical and took the fish and the bread and multiplied it. Here, Peter and John, the ordinary, are doing something unordinary. They're multiplying spiritually. They're multiplying men. How? in the power of Peter and John, could a multiplication of souls, of conversions, of belief in Jesus Christ happen? They were just ordinary men. But see, they were willing to cross a bridge. They were willing to follow after God's grace. They were willing to proclaim the resurrection in Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the bridge. Despite the barriers, despite the obstacles, they pointed and called the ordinary apostles doing extraordinary things. You know, but in the story, there's also another ordinary. It's the ordinary Almighty. God stepped out of heaven, out of his throne, condescended to come down here with his creation that had rejected him completely and totally and utterly to visit among them. He lived as a man, regular, ordinary, a carpenter, until about the age of 30, when he went on his ministry. And in verse 12, the text says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It is this ordinary man, this ordinary Almighty, that is the only name, the only power, the only way that will save the ordinary man. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He is that bridge for the ordinary man to cross. He is that provision of grace, of undeserved favor, of forgiveness for sins. Isaiah 53, hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ, says he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. It's on the shoulders of a despised, rejected man that the iniquity of us all has been laid. A man like us, in one manner. When he's before the authorities, before he's crucified and taken out by the Romans, "Behold the man." The Roman authorities, the Pharisees, the scribes, all looked at him as the ordinary man, not as their ordinary Almighty. But do you remember what John the Baptist says in John 1? When he first sees Jesus approaching, "Behold, not the man, but the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world." The ordinary John the Baptist living out in the desert recognizes the one name, the power of man, power of men to all salvation, the only way for the ordinary to be saved is to trust and believe in the man who's the ordinary Almighty. Look at what goes on to happen. Peter and John boldly proclaim the gospel in 13, and it says they were uneducated common men. I read a lot of books, 6 hours a day on average of study. Over 8 years. That's a lot. But I only need to share with you one important thing. It's the power of the name. See, John and Peter didn't have all that. You don't need to have that. It's the power of the ordinary that comes through in our Almighty. Our ordinary Almighty. You can be like Peter and John. You can be like the 5,000. You can receive and believe in Christ. You can put your faith and trust in him and let him, the Father, carry you on his shoulders. So that you, as a church, called out and redeemed, can take this lost and hurting world and put them on your shoulders. See, the world is hurting. They're lost. And they need a hand. And they need someone's shoulder to carry them. No matter how ordinary you may be, if you put your faith and trust in an Almighty, the name of Jesus, an ordinary man. But it goes on, and they continue to face obstacles. See, we're going to face obstacles. The obstacles that the ordinary face in verse 17. But in order that may spread no further among this people, let us warn them to speak no more anyone in this name. See, a barrier comes in, and the authority said, you are not to proclaim this name Jesus. They've seen the 5,000. They've seen what's happened to the ordinary. Even though they're the smartest men, they cannot bring them to the Savior, the one that they've been searching for hundreds and hundreds of years. He's arrived. Peter and John proclaim him, and extraordinary things happen. On the ordinary, they're introduced to grace and to the bridge. The power of Jesus' name is what changes lives. The Bible says, it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God. Do you know that there's a time coming for every man, woman, and child where whether you believe it or not, you will confess that this ordinary man is truly the Almighty, is truly the power to save. But in this country, right now, at this time, you know what they're doing? They're clamping our mouths. We see it going on, where Christianity, which was once a common held core across our nation, is disappearing. It's going to happen where it continues to evaporate. But here's the question. You now are in the same situation as Peter and John. You are ordinary. What are you going to do? See, your option is you can muzzle yourself and say nothing. Or do you know his name? And are you going to step forward in boldness and confess it? That's exactly what the apostles did in verse 19. Peter and John answered them and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. See, regardless of what barrier gets put in front of us, us as the ordinary must be bridge builders. We must make our common, ordinary acts build bridges towards God. You must have a mindset that you're all in. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you do about me. I am willing to share Jesus. It's the power of his name to save. See, the authorities pointed to their own authority. The apostles pointed to the ordinary Almighty. They looked what they were doing in the sight of God, what his will was. You remember who one of those two apostles was that helped convert those 5,000? It was Peter. You remember that big story that happened to Peter right while Jesus is being marched to trial? Peter, you will deny me 3 times. No, I will not, Lord. And he does. A whole chapter on it. And after the rooster crows, Jesus looks And Peter knows that he's just ordinary. He had denied the power of the name, not fully comprehending where Jesus was going and what was happening. But you remember what Jesus does after the resurrection? He forgives Peter. It's the first time that he sees Peter. He forgives. He provides his mercy and his grace to an ordinary fisherman. How does forgiveness affect your loyalty or your passion? Are you in a marriage relationship right now where you live in unforgiveness? That you look at your spouse and you go, no, I cannot forgive what they've done. Are you in a position where you're pointing your finger at God and upset about the circumstances of your life and the way that life has turned out? How does forgiveness affect your passion and your loyalty for the ordinary Almighty? But it goes on, and there's more obstacles for the ordinary. See, these obstacles are bearers. In verse 21, they had pride. They threatened him, then let them go, finding no way to punish him because they were praising God. The world's going to determine what they want, not what God wants. And so because of that, church, they're going to threaten you. They're going to threaten you and say, you must believe this. You must follow that. The psalmist has said, our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, the contempt of the proud. Perhaps you as a believer feel like I do sometimes. We're like, come on! Why is it going this way? But then we need to reflect about being an ordinary, a common, a person. Because it said what they did, they were praising God for what had happened. It doesn't matter what the threat is. It doesn't matter what the barrier is. The apostles, the ordinary, responded with praise. They're bridge builders, praising God, giving glory to Him. A God that can heal a blind man. But what about a God that can heal a sin covered man? You know, whenever I open up the Bible every day and read, it's a mirror. Verse after verse, chapter after chapter, page after page of my reality that apart from God, I am a fallen, sinful man. And so far, as I've looked out in the world, I've found that to be exactly universally true for everybody I've come into contact with. It just is. Doesn't matter where I go. But the difference is, many of them don't want to recognize it, even though it's true. We are to glorify God, our Creator. He's in control of our lives. See, it's His sovereignty, His kingship, His lordship that rules this entire creation. God is all-knowing and all-powerful. God created, man fell, decreated himself, pulled himself apart from God, but God redeems and restores that relationship. He asks you to give him the glory, to give him the praise, to give him your worship. of you may know, I'm a failed rock star. I am 50 years old, and I'm still living like it's 1985. In my mind, back on the LA Sunset Strip, those bands, Poison, Guns N' Roses, all, you know, they got in front of me. I don't know what happened there, but what an honor it is to be able to play for God. I walked 3 feet, and I don't do that this often. What an honor it is to be able to preach of His glory. But what about you? Do you give Him all the glory that He deserves? Have you? Are you fully engaged in worship here and out in your life? Or are you really worshiping your job? And so you're a workaholic. Or you worship your cool stuff, your awesome Frisco material. Or do you run around with your children as the top priority? And no matter what it is, you'll bow and bend everything in an attempt to please them. Such that if they said, church, I don't want to go to church. And so we let them hang at home and do their own thing. But see, there's another obstacle, an obstacle of control. In verse 26, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves against, and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and His anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. See, the kings are people of renown. The rulers were people of renown. Herod was a person of renown. Pontius Pilate, the scribes, the Pharisees, all famous and renowned. You remember what Jesus said as He walked? He says, the scribes and Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move one finger. Maybe you grew up in a church environment that was like that, full of rules, lacking in relationships, where you've never understood what it's like to sit on the shoulders of your father. You remember in the Bible, the parable of the lost sheep? That the shepherd was willing to go out and look for one. My second daughter, Jessie, who's here today, used to have a Pooh Bear. And when she was a young child that was with her in bed every single night for years, and as I'd go tuck her in, I'd kiss her and we'd pray and we'd talk and do all that. When we moved to Texas, we got long-term apartment living as I was changing careers. And somehow when we got to the house, Pooh Bear is gone. Bad day. So Dad looked. I went back to the apartment complex, searched and searched and drove and drove. But no Pooh Bear. But one day, a friend of mine, who'd gone to Disney World as well, and had taken a Pooh Bear and purchased it, provided me with a Pooh Bear to replace. Missing a honey pot, so we all knew that it was not the same one. But what's the point? The point is that the father would go after, that he would search, that just like the shepherd looking for the sheep, he would go search for the one that is lost, the particular, the personal, the redemptive. That's what God does for you. He searches until He finds you. He's relentless in His pursuit of you. And just like He finds the one lost sheep, he will be successful. He then takes the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders, providing with protection and safety and security, and he takes it back. That's what God, that's what Christ will do for you. All the way the shepherd rejoices. See, people and nations are hostile to Christ, but we as a church are called to be a shepherd. Your job may not be pastor. You may not get up in your worship. You may not get up here and preach. But every single day of your life, there's nothing that God wants more than you to find lost Pooh Bears, than you to find lost sheep, than you to take your friends and put them on your shoulders. You, the ordinary, the common. Because, see, the ordinary's job is to be all about converting. In Luke 15, he said, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be on this house. I don't care how much money you have, how much education, where you're at in life right now, you are to trust completely and totally in him. You are more precious than a sparrow. He knows every hair on your head. Surrender yourself to God's call, his will and direction. In Acts 4:29, he says, grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. You as believers are to be bridge builders. You are to speak with boldness. It's not a job reserved for Tim. It's not a job reserved for Lucas. It's not a job reserved for Paul. It's a job of the ordinary, of the common, of those that are called to be bridge builders because they're present here among us. Jesus is the bridge builder. He took 12. He took him into 72. He took it into 5,000. And now he's taking it across the world. You and me, we're to be filled with Christ, with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We are to speak the word of God with boldness. We, the unknown, the common, and the ordinary, we are to go out in the power of God Almighty. And how are we to do that, church? We're to do it as the ordinary all. We're to do it united. In verse 32 of Acts 4, it says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. The ordinary all. See, the bridge was the common, the ordinary. They were now one. The 5,000 before, different. Aren't we like that? A picture of different ages, different backgrounds. But to be a church without distinction about who our personalities are or what our paths are, to walk forward, to build bridges. The gospel message is for all people. It doesn't matter what your race is, what your sex, your nationality, your wealth, your social standing, your education, your lifestyle, or the sins that you've committed. Anything can be forgiven by trusting in his name. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You are to love him with all your heart and soul. You are to love him sacrificially. You are to love him and be given power to take that grace, to build that bridge, to be a testimony. Because he, Jesus Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, and proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. But what are we going to do? How are we going to live? Are we just going to go home? Or are we going to be a bridge builder? Are you going to be that bridge of grace to reach out to other people here in Frisco in our community? Are you going to, regardless of the barriers that stand in front of you, go, "I refuse to be stopped"? See, Christianity does not spread on the wings of great preachers, but rather on the short, ordinary shoulders of his church. Real Christians like you and me. The common, the ordinary. Father God, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that in our ordinary commonness, you would do something extraordinary and mighty. Despite our fallen condition, our sinful nature, that you, Lord, have called us out unto yourself, that you have redeemed us, and you want to do great things for us. I want to stand and proclaim your name. I want to walk with hundreds of other people at this church and smash through every barrier that ever comes before us in the next generations for every person here and out in our community. I want to be a bridge builder with my life, and I want to be among bridge builders that united together in your extraordinary power through your ordinary man, your life, sinless, perfect, everything that we need to be redeemed and brought into relationship with you. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ and the power of his name.